podcast, I want to introduce our team members, not all of which are on this particular podcast today, but Linda Ganstrom from Fort Hays State University, Letitia Haig, also from Fort Hays, Jamie Bates Sloan from the University of Oklahoma. I'm Betsy Crawford from Fort Hays State University. I teach in the Department of Teacher Education. And with us today is Heather May Erickson from Western Carolina University.
Hi, Betsy, and thank you all for joining us. My name is Heather May Erickson, and I teach ceramics as in the Studio Arts program here at Western Carolina University. And I'd like to give a land acknowledgement. Western Carolina's recent land acknowledgement here in Cullowhee, North Carolina, the ancestral homelands of the Cherokee people just 20 miles away from the Qualla boundary.
So today, our assignment, Heather, is to talk about some of those traits of what we've defined as wholehearted teaching. And so the ones we're going to focus on are self-care, gratitude, and authenticity. So I want you to give us a little bit of information about how you started the wholehearted classroom feedback and this journey to incorporating all of us in this wholehearted mission.
Well, it's quite a long story, but I would say right before COVID hit, I had this restlessness, and I began to do a lot of reading and journaling and thinking about myself and how I navigate this world. And luckily, I found Brené Brown and her Netflix special, and her TED Talk and her spiritual awakening really helped me to discover my own true gifts in embracing my own authenticity, which at the time I discovered that I wasn't teaching and existing in academia in my own authenticity. And I received tenure this past March of 2020, and it really helped prompt me to embrace the gifts that I have and my true self. And Brené Brown, a Brené Brown quote that means a lot to, I know, Betsy and I, that we want to share with you, is that we need to be selective about the feedback we let into our lives. For me, if you're not in the arena also getting your ass kicked, I'm not interested in your feedback. So thinking about that, that definitely helps me in the classroom with my students and talking to them about their own authenticity and being able to share my stories with them. So even though this started, I would say December before COVID hit, when COVID hit, I dove deep into these books and podcasts, reading about Brené Brown, Glennon Doyle, Elizabeth Gilbert with Big Magic, which is a book and a podcast. And also I found Hannah Gadsby, the comedian from Tasmania, her Netflix special Nanette, really spoke to me. She's trained as an art historian and also is on the spectrum and a gay woman. And that really helped me to embrace myself and decide that I want to live and teach in the arena and not be afraid of losing my job and sharing all of the gifts that I have. So at that time, I was also discovering a new body of work, which I had made a bunch of slip cast ceramic vases and pots that I needed to figure out the surfaces for. And I was really struggling. So I was looking at pots, I was looking at tradition and history, trying to figure out what I wanted to speak about. And all of a sudden, I just decided that I was going to start using things that I was uncomfortable with, which is the pride flag and, you know, my own inner homophobia and those kinds of things, trying to overcome those struggles about coming out academically. And I started the series now known as Pride Pots. And this really helped me to understand myself and the work that I make now and in the future about being really authentic in the work that I make. So I was trying to think about what my students needed, just like thinking about what I needed that I didn't receive when I was a student, and flipping the classroom and looking at my students for upward mentorship and looking at my students to help shape kind of a new classroom structure so that I wasn't or am not perpetuating all of the old standards about and expectations of academia and ceramic education, basically. So along with that, it's really important for me to think about rigor and accountability with these other teachings that we kind of are labeling as wholehearted teaching, where authenticity is embraced and the self-care is there, and really thinking about safe spaces for students to feel like they belong and that they don't have to fit in any way, that I don't expect certain things from them. I want them to be themselves, basically. So COVID hit, that deep dive happened, the new body of work happened, and this past month, a couple of weeks before school started, I was on a think tank for my college to kind of rethink the future of the Belcher College of Fine and Performing Arts here at Western Carolina University. And my dean, his name is George Brown, he asked a kind of general question about, why do you think you teach the way you do? And at the moment, I didn't really understand kind of the question, but when he gave the answer, there was like that aha moment. And he said, because it's how academia or our programs are structured. And that moment of him saying that reminded me of that moment where Glennon Doyle was on Unlocking Us with Brené Brown. She was trying to think about unlearning structures within her own writing, and when she wrote Untamed. So I thought that was a really key moment. So Betsy, how do you think it affects your practice and your classroom and engaging with other professionals?
So Heather, how does, someone questioning what you're doing in the classroom affect your practice when you're interacting with your students and other professionals?
When COVID hit and we went into quarantine and I became restless, I really wanted to find and connect some way with like-minded academics. And at that point, I thought, you know, if we're going the traditional route, we kind of know what that is with scholarship, but I decided, you know, I do untraditional research or non-traditional research. So I thought, you know, maybe I'll just create a Facebook page and these people will come to me. So that's how it started. In February of 2020, right before COVID hit, I created a Facebook group called Wholehearted Classrooms, Higher Ed Educators and Researchers in the Arts, because I was really looking to connect beyond K-12 with people that were teaching in similar areas, but then also outside of the areas. So, you know, looking for people in social work, looking for people using these practices outside of the arts in some ways as well. The tagline that I basically put up was, "Hello, y'all. I'm excited to open this new discussion group to cultivate dialogue around new classroom strategies for building a wholehearted, inclusive community in your classrooms. This interest has been on my mind, but only became solid in my mind after reading about Dr. Brené Brown's research on courage, vulnerability, creativity, and innovation. Information and download resources are available throughout her website and the Daring Classrooms Hub, which can be found on her site. All the research is key to creating wholehearted classrooms, and it's been incredibly successful in one of my test class cases, which basically got cut in half during the COVID quarantining. But I wanted the Facebook page to be a safe place for academics to share assignments, outcomes, and ideas for the future of research and ideas in academia. The first posts, when I was doing research for our podcast, Betsy, I went back to the beginning of Wholehearted Classrooms and thinking about, well, what were my first posts? What was I first thinking about? And it was vulnerability and shame, fitting in versus belonging, handling criticism. So those were kind of the first topics of some of the posts. And after, I guess, a month or two, I can't even remember, I think it was around March, maybe, Linda Ganstrom, who is one of my mentors in teaching and a good friend, she reached out to me through the page and invited me for a faculty tea virtual event that was happening at Fort Hays with their scholarship environment committee and their professional development on campus at Fort Hays. And at that moment, I was like, oh my goodness, this could actually become a real thing, connecting with people and creating a new way of engaging in scholarship and of teaching and learning. So after all of that, Betsy, I'd love to hear from you. How about you? What are your thoughts on finding your own authenticity?
So I think we have some similar roots, Heather. Like I was reading the similar books, right? I've read most of Brené Brown's stuff, some of the Glennon Doyle, other types of things. I teach teachers. And you come from a very similar background of having that teaching certificate in K-12. And so we have, in our graduate practices, we learned how to teach people and how to be reflective in our teaching and what works well and what doesn't. And, you know, I felt like I wasn't being authentic if I taught something, it didn't turn out how I wanted to. So I started, you know, just telling my students who are future teachers that did not go as planned, right? Sometimes it's my fault. Sometimes it's technology's fault or whatever that was. Obviously we know that the spring of 2020 semester did not go how anybody planned. And I think I was already on the path similar to you of being more vulnerable and open and taking more risks in the classrooms and having them do some things that weren't sitting in straight rows and listening to me already. Definitely I was going on that path. And then COVID changed that and I could have the best laid plans and they didn't translate over Zoom or whatever we were trying to do. And we just had to get real creative real quick. And then I've just kind of not stopped doing that. And I think just being more authentic in general with students has led them to be more authentic with me. That relationship building has been so, so powerful. And, you know, not every student connects and that's fine. But there are so many of my students I can't shake even if I wanted to. You know, they are continuing to stay in contact well after they graduate. And that's so, so powerful for me, right? They keep messaging me and telling me, put this in your class. You were right. I didn't believe you when you said it in class, but this is true, kind of topics. And I knew that I was making connections with my students. And, you know, and it's so powerful because they're teaching other students. And so hopefully they can have these open, belonging classrooms with vulnerability themselves. So that's kind of where I was working. I'm very open with how my students do assignments, for example. They all have to answer the same prompts or whatever it is. But in almost all of my assignments, you can turn in a podcast or a video or a PowerPoint or paragraphs or whatever it is that you need to do as long as you meet the criteria. And that drives some of my students crazy until they realize that I will let them do it in the way that makes sense for them, right? You may want to draw a visual and I just need to write and write and write. And if, as long as we're answering the same prompts, that learning outcome is met. That rigor is still there, but I'm giving that flexibility for students to kind of, you know, do it in a way that makes sense to them. I've written so many assignments as a student that I spent so much time on the structure that the product wasn't pretty, right? I'm not an outline person, or at least wasn't in the past. I used to write outlines after I wrote the paper because the teacher required it. I know that's not the point, right? So I just admitted that that's not how I learn and this is what I need to do. And I assume that my students have similar quirks and ways of learning. So the other part of this, and you and I've talked about this a little bit, is our journaling, right? Every assignment I ever got as an undergrad or even in grad school that mentioned the word journal, I could have fallen out of my seat and rolled my eyes. I hated them. As we sit here right now, I have four journals that I could touch because this is where I am in life. And I have different journals for different reasons. And none of them are a blank page where I just write. I have prompts and So I'm trying to give that and model that for my students too. What does this look like? Some of them want that blank page, and some of them want the prompts and areas for drawing or writing or whatever that looks like, graph paper, to express themselves. And I'm hoping that they understand that too. And I can put, when we share our reference list at the end, I'll share some of my journals that are focused at people who are neurodivergent or have different types of learning, because a lot of planners don't work for me. And I think we need to recognize that. And that's kind of overall the authenticity and the gratitude of who we are, accepting who we are and what we're doing is so, so important. And I'm glad I'm in this place to continue learning and growing. So
I think that's really, really awesome, Betsy. And thinking about how, like, figuring out what you need in your sketchbooks and your journals and whatever they are. And I say sketchbook because I was about to interject there about your assignments and how you're really helping your students to find their own paths in the skills that they have or the desires that they want. To say, oh, I want to do this with a PowerPoint this week, or, oh, I really feel like I want to do a research paper for this. I think it's the same with journaling or getting information out of your head. So in the ceramics classroom, I was rethinking about, well, what is a sketchbook? Usually we tell students, you know, go sketch this or go find this inspiration. But I think that they need a little bit more of a prompt to tap into their own creativity, and not for us to just say, okay, go do this, but be a little bit more clear and kind in a way that you say, you know, what is a journal to you? Because what a journal is to you is very different than what a journal is to me, or what a sketchbook is. So my journals, you know, they're about quotes. They have reading notes in them. They become a sketchbook. They become a place for me to write my affirmations, or to write my gratitude, or take care of my health and wellness, and think about those kinds of issues that are in my head and in my thoughts, but getting them down on paper for me is good. And like Betsy said, you know, you need to find your own way, and we're gonna give you some tools that hopefully are enough of open-ended kind of prompts. And I think that if we think about the journal and assignments in new ways, we don't fall into that old habit of structure and, you know, teaching how we were taught, but, you know, learning new ways for ourselves to express ourselves.
Yeah. Journals were a punishment to me. And now I love them. That gratitude piece. If I miss a day of journaling, I'm like, whoa, what, how can I add that gratitude in my day? If the paper's not in front of me, what does that look like? So I think that's so powerful. And some days my gratitude things are tiny, right? They're that I found that parking space or, you know, whatever. And sometimes they're huge. And that reflection piece is so powerful as educators. And I think I'm in a lot of that place of gratitude and reflection, even for things that don't go my way. And what can I learn from that?
Always looking for the learnings, because I think, you know, teasing out self-care and gratitude is kind of hard to do. But they're both really important things that we need to think about, you know, our health and wellness before we even get to the topic that we're trying to teach in the classroom. And if I enter the classroom and I am, you know, and I'm not thinking about how I want to show up each day and, you know, and make sure that I'm well rested and cared for and other things like that, it really affects the classroom. But then also having that authenticity and being able to say to my students, like, how are you doing? And, you know, and they ask, well, how are you doing? I'm like, well, you know, it's been a tough day. And having that out in the open really is an embracing place to make it safe. And so that we can be ourselves in however we are feeling that day. And I think that it's really helping the students to embrace their own authenticity and self-care and share. And when they're in that shame or in that place, that they understand that if they speak about it, it's not going to weigh on them, and they can release that and move on with their day.
So that's exactly what I do at the beginning of every one of my classes. We spend the first 3 or 4 minutes in what we call morning meetings or check-in meetings. And they know this, they design how they're going to do it. We look at best practices of these types of things in teaching at the very beginning of the semester. And we do, we spend 3 minutes. We might talk about the weather or what they had for lunch or that they have a new plant or whatever it is. Or do you have questions on the assignment or whatever it is? We spend that first 3 or 4 minutes just doing that check-in. And I can tell when they all give me that glazed over look, how I need to pivot and change things for that class period. And just that 3 or 4 minutes of relationship building, I have music playing, all of these things gets me so much more buy-in and connection with my students that later on when I ask them something that's hard or difficult to do, so I'm kind of tying that rigor back in, they're willing to do it and take those risks because we're already sharing and human to each other. And I think that's very, very powerful. And I started doing that because of COVID, and I don't think I'll ever stop doing it in a classroom because wow. It's just so powerful.
Yeah, I think there's so many things that we could talk about, but I think that we're starting to run out of time here. We need to regroup and write some of that stuff down so that we can have a future podcast. Betsy, would you like to wrap this up and talk about our upcoming series?
Absolutely. So coming up, we will share in the description, some of our resources and those types of things, the link to the Facebook group if you're interested. But coming up in the next podcast, I'm going to talk with Linda Ganstrom, who obviously we're kind of fangirling about here. And her topics are going to be passion, peaceful environment, and community. So another aspect of that wholehearted classroom as we have self-defined it. And then we'll have one about every month with Jamie and Letitia also involved. So looking forward to hearing from them, probably more so. So again, we're Betsy Crawford and Heather May Erickson, and that's all I have to say.
I think that's great. It's so great, Betsy, to spend this time with you, and I look forward to chatting with you and developing more projects in the future. Thanks, y'all.